ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 1000 names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. We will discuss the 5 names starting from the 266th name till the 270th name today. So the last 2 namas spoke about Devi as one who helps in Srishti and one who is Brahma. So this analysis continues in the next few namas. So the world or anything that is temporary needs to basically have three, it's not states, but three type of or three conditions, like it cannot be called conditions, we can call it state itself. So three states. So anything that exists temporarily that has to have three states. So the first is the state when that particular object comes into existence, and the second is the state when it exists, and the third is that particular time or that particular moment when that entity ceases to exist, or that moment from which the entity ceases to exist. So the first state wherein an object doesn't exist previously and it newly starts to exist, that is called creation or Srishti. So Srishti is nothing but something which is not really existing that comes into existence, that is called Srishti. So creation is when an object which doesn't exist comes to exist. So the first time when an object exists, that is called Srishti or Janma. And once it has come into existence, then it exists for a period of time. So it sustains existence. So that is called Sthiti or protection. In general, it is that state wherein an object exists for a period of time, and that moment after which or starting which the object ceases to exist is what we call as pralayam or layam or nasham, or it is called as destruction. So any object, any temporary object, needs to have these three states. So first is creation, then protection or existence we can say, and then destruction. So these three states are there for any entity, any temporary existence. And the world, as we know, as we experience, our experience shows that the world is temporary. And Krishna also says that anityam asukam lokam anityam. So anityam means it's constantly changing. So that which is constantly changing has to start or get created, it has to exist for a period of time, and then it gets destroyed again. So these are the three avastas. So that is what is denoted also in the second Brahma Sutra as Janma Adhyasya Yataha Janma Adi Asya of the Jagat. So those three are the main things, but there is another fourth and the fifth state. With respect to temporary objects, there is only three state, which is Janma, or we can call it Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. Those three are the three states. With respect to a temporary object, whether it is the world as a whole, whether it is the body that we are identified with, whether it is the thought, so attachment, like if we consider attachment, attachment also has Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. So we get attached to our father our parents. We get attached to our parents. Attachment to our parents doesn't like begin just once. Like, it is not something which is always there. Sorry, it is not that which is always there, but it begins from a particular day. So when we are born and when our parents take care of us, from that day we keep on adding attachment. So that is when, like, the creation of the attachment, and then attachment exists or stays. There is sthiti of attachment as long as attachment gets destroyed. When does attachment get destroyed? Attachment gets destroyed just a few years after our parents pass. So we will be attached to our parents not when they die. Like, even after they die, we will get attached. We will be attached. But after a few years, automatically attachment vanishes. Now people cry saying that, oh, I cannot join Vedanta course. Why? I'm attached to my father. Is that attachment going to be there permanently? Definitely not. No, the answer is definitely no. If we think the answer is yes, we just need to ask our father as to how they feel about their father. They'll remember once in a year because they have to do tithi. Therefore, they'll remember. Else, who remembers? Nobody remembers. So, Kanchi, okay, these are not my words again. Kanchi, like Paramacharya or Chandrasekharendra Saraswati Swamigal, he himself says that time is a healer. All the Mahatmas have said time is a healer. If only we give time the opportunity to heal, then automatically it gets healed very quick. So time heals, whether we want it or not, whether we accept it or not, time is a healer of everything. So husbands and wives, or a couple who are very attached to each other, like when one of them, the husband, passes away, the wife will brood over or cry over the husband's death. But how long? 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. After that, it will automatically vanish. No crying will be there. And that is because the person doesn't let time heal itself. So if we allow time to heal, healing happens immediately. So that is what we can learn from different cultures. In certain cultures, people are not attached to our parents. People are not attached to their partners. They get married many, many times. And it also happens funnily that after 6-7 times, they marry the same person again. Same couple again marry. So that is what happens in different cultures. So there is an advantage in all those cultures. There is a disadvantage as well. Similarly, there is an advantage in the Indian culture of getting attached to our parents, and there is a disadvantage as well. The advantage is that we don't get into bad habits. The disadvantage is that we don't get into good habits as well. So our life will become a life which is mutual or normal. Madhyama, it's called the Madhyama way, middle way. So what happens with the middle way? We don't get punya as well. We don't accrue sin papam as well. At the punya papam, at the worldly level, it's not with respect to Ishvara. It's not the real punya or real papa. So punya and papa is not there, which means that we will neither go to swarga, nor will we go to naraga, or lower worlds. The atala, vitala, sutala, tala, atala, mahatala, rasatala, pathalam, all those lower worlds or the higher worlds, will not go to either of those, which means we'll be born here again and again as in a Manishya Janma. We'll get Manishya Janma again and again. So what is the point of such life? There is no point in such life because we'll not get what we really want, which is happiness. We won't get that happiness. That happiness, if we have to get that happiness, we have to understand that attachments have to go, have to vanish. And if only we let time heal our attachments, automatically attachments will get healed or will vanish. That is what Kanchi Paramacharya says. So a person cannot be attached to somebody like for quite a long period, maybe after their death 1 year or 2 years, something like that, and then automatically we will get into other things. But what happens here, or what happens with us, is that we don't let time heal. So time heals, so 1 year passes and time is healing, and then what we do is we get into the same attachment with a different person. So even though time is ready to heal us, we don't want time to heal us. Therefore, what do we do? Okay, but still time heals. So if we allow time will heal faster, if we don't allow time will heal slowly. So like after 6 months time would have healed some part of it, then we again go back, which means like within the next 1 month we add on more attachment. So that is what happens when Mahatmas like Tejomi Ananda and others are ready to take us out of attachment. We don't want to come out of attachment. At the same time, do we acknowledge that? We don't acknowledge that. Still, we want to be healed. So it is a person who wants to be healed, but he will not let himself be healed. So there is a wound in the body. The person wants himself to be really treated for the wound. So he goes to the doctor, and when the doctor comes near to him to treat him, he says, no, I don't want. And he'll walk out. And then he will have double thought, okay, let me again go, I want it. So he'll go inside. When the doctor comes near, again the same thing. So that is what will happen. Mahatmas or Ishvara doesn't lose anything out of it. Neither do our, the people whom we are attached to. They will also not lose anything, because if we are not there for them, they will seek something else. So that is the nature of the world. The world will seek, like, we cannot stop the world. If we don't protect people around us, they will find other means for protection. They will not even wait for Ishvara. If we don't wait for Ishvara, we are spiritual sadhakas, still we don't wait for Ishvara, then how will others, worldly people, wait? So they won't wait, they will create something else. So that is what will happen. But we don't let time also heal. So whatever it may be, as long as that doesn't happen, as long as we don't let ourselves be healed by completely surrendering to a master of wisdom, to a Mahatma, we will be learning Lalita Sahasranama, we will be learning many other works, we will be going to missions, various missions. It will give us nothing, but it will only add on to our sorrow again and again. So anyway, attachment will definitely vanish one day. Either we get rid of it, or time will automatically heal us. But if we don't want ourselves to be healed, we will go on adding more. Time will heal, add more. Time will heal, add more. At the end of the day, nothing, it's as good as nothing happened. So there was a person called Narayana, Narayanath Brandan. So a person called Narayanath Brandan. So he's very famous in Kerala. So he was a realized master. So he was called a mad person, because he used to do only one thing. When the day starts, when the sun rises, he would start rolling a very huge stone. We can call it a boulder, or whatever is the right pronunciation of the word. So huge stone, he will be rolling up a hill, a very steep hill, and he'll be doing it the entire day. By the end of the day, or when the sun is about to set, the stone would have reached the top of the hill. So he'll stand there. He will clap his hands as if he is calling out to people. He will jump in joy, and then the very next minute, he will just push the stone down. So the stone will come down. Again, the same thing the second day, the third day, the fourth day. So people used to call him a mad person, but if we really see it, we can understand as to why he is doing it, because he is showing that what we are doing in life, we do spiritual sadhana. We do spiritual sadhana, and when we have reached a particular state, we have reached the top of the hill, it's as if like we are in the right direction, immediately we will fall down ourselves. And like the pity is that majority of us fall down knowingly that we are falling down. So that is what the story, like, or see whatever he shows, that we do a lot of things and then immediately fall down knowing that it is falling down. So such a person doesn't have any guilty at all. A person who doesn't know and he falls down, such a person has guilty, because once a person knows that it is falling down and he still falls down, that means he cannot help himself, or he doesn't want himself to be helped. He doesn't want the progress, therefore he falls down. Such a person has no guilty. It's like a person who is appearing to be sleeping, who is not sleeping but who appears to be sleeping. Such a person cannot be woke, like nobody can wake up such a person, because he is not sleeping at all. So anyway, like we need to understand, if we don't really understand and work towards letting ourselves to be healed, taking ourselves in the right direction, not falling down again and again, if we don't do that, then like any other thing, our spiritual progress or the spiritual path that we are treading also will have a srishti, sthiti and layam. And when the layam of the spiritual path or spiritual sadhanas happen, at that moment itself everything will vanish from our life, not just happiness but prosperity, or whatever we can call fame, prosperity, money, name, everything will vanish. So that will be a day when we will have nothing at all. And at that time, will our attachments be with us? It will not be, because it will definitely not be. When we die, we don't take attachments with us. We cannot take any attachments with us. What do we take at that time? Yatha karma yatha shrutam. There are only two things that a person takes with him in the next birth. One is the knowledge that he has gained, and two is his karma. So if we do such karma, which is sakamam, sakama karma, it will add on to more sins. It will add to more ajnanam. Though we may have got some jnanam, but still this karma will cause more ajnanam, which will veil the jnanam. The jnanam will be nullified. So at the end of the day, like when we die, even though we have done some jnanam, but the karma overrides the jnanam, and again we will be born in the same ajnanam, ajnana sagaram, we will be again born. But instead, if we try to implement jnanam and say, try to do nishkama karmam, karma without expectation, okay, I have to do this, if I have to do this, then I'll do it. Oh, what about people around me? What about my office? Oh, Ishvara is there to take care. He will take care. If he really wants me to do, I will do. Else, I will not do. So that is the attitude of a person who is in the spiritual path, whose spiritual sadhana doesn't have any srishti, sthiti, layam. So unless we try to implement that, all these sadhana will be of no use at the end of our life. These sadhanas will be of no use at all, and we will have to die a miserable death. Not only we will have a miserable death, we will have a miserable birth the next time as well. And all the jnanam, everything that we have accumulated, will be nullified. We will be as if starting a new birth over again. So if that shouldn't happen, then we have to start implementation starting now itself. So implementation is nothing but just remembering that everything is one Ishvara. I'll not be so attached to my parents. There are many people in the world who need our attachment. So if I am getting attached, let me get attached to others as well. If I am giving $2,000 to my parents, let me give at least $100 to charitable missions. If I am giving like $1,000 to my parents, let me spend an equal amount of money for the entire world. That is nishkama karmam. That is the karma which will help us. Though we may be doing for our parents, but if we do an equal, or if we give the world as well an equal amount of love, equal amount of affection, equal amount of attachment, then even though we are attached to our parents, that attachment is not, will not be a bondage. That attachment will not pose an obstacle. But what do? We give like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to our parents. We don't give anything at all for the world. And if we have to do something very, very simple, we can't do it. Oh, I have to attend Mahasamadhi camp. Oh, should I go one day? Should I go 2 days? Like, will Tejomayananda like have time? We will think about work. Oh, I have work. I cannot take leave. Why? If I take leave, like the entire company will come down. Therefore, I cannot take. So that is what we have. That is ours. Now that speaks about our desire or our conviction about how much we want moksha. We don't want moksha. What we want is just swargaloka. We just want to be hearing good things, hearing about Brahman from somebody, some crack, some half maniac. and then be in that anandam, that temporary anandam, that is enough. We don't want real anandam. So as many Swamiji speak about, like, people don't really want real anandam. So like somebody was telling me about Tejomi Ananda, what, like, not Tejomi Ananda but Shantananda, giving an example. I think Shantananda or some other Swamiji. So people don't really want the real thing. They only want artificial thing. So a person put a board in his house, like in front of his house, saying that you can hear the voice or the screaming of a donkey. So everybody started going there. And he kept an admission fee, and as a result of that, he started earning quite a lot of money. And the person was artificially making the sound of a donkey. So his neighbor thought, oh, like, if he can do so much, like, I can also try. So he got a real donkey and said, like, come, if we want to listen to the sound of a real donkey. Nobody went there. So that is the state of the world. We don't want moksha. We can just pose or say as if we want moksha. We don't want moksha. What we want is temporary relief. Temporary relief from worldly trouble by listening to some Vedanta. So Vedanta is just part-time for us. It is not something which is very essential. So it is like what Amma says. As to when we are in trouble, we go to the Mahatmas. We go to various Mahatmas. And the people who have lot of money, they donate quite a lot to Mahatmas. It's not because they love Mahatmas, or it's not because they have lot of, like, money or a big heart to give it. It's because they are accruing lot of sins by creating money in illegal ways, in adharmic ways. Therefore, in order to get rid of the sin, they give the money. They are not giving money, they are giving, like, their sins. So let me get rid of the sin. So that is how we are doing. Our spiritual sadhana is not like a real sadhaka. It's not how a real sadhaka should behave. We don't behave like a real sadhaka. We just behave like those people who just go to the temple and donate quite a lot because they have a lot of black money. They want to get rid of some of it, therefore income tax rate, this, that. So they just want to get rid of it, therefore they do it. So that is how our life has become. But if it is that way, if it continues, it doesn't pass, it's a cancel check. It doesn't matter how we were previously, but it matters as to how we are now and how we are going to be in the future. So if we don't change ourselves, then all these spiritual sadhana will be of no use at all. So it is like Yoga Vasishtha says, after learning that, okay, everything is one entity, if a person cannot understand that, he still has attachments, he still has passions in life, then such a person will never ever realize, because for such a person, jnanam is nothing but pouring ghee over the homakunda. Is there fire in the homakunda? No. The firewood has been completely burned into ashes. So onto that ashes, the person is pouring ghee, thinking that, oh, the fire will burn quite well. There is no fire at all. So that is how it will be. There is no passion inside us. There is no real desire for moksha. Therefore, if a person doesn't understand after so much learning, so much, say, like, explanation about the supreme truth, then such a person will never ever realize our life will become yattham. So if that shouldn't happen, we'll see in the next day as to what we should do if that shouldn't happen. So Brahma, like in the last day, we learnt about what Brahma does. Brahma does Srishti. So the next comes protection, as we said, like Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. So protection. So with respect to protection, Om Goptriyai Namaha. So Goptri means one who does protection, the action of protecting people, protecting things, protecting everything. So that is Devi. Devi does protection. And what is Devi called when she protects people? Om Govinda Rupinyai Namaha. Govinda Rupini. So Devi protects people as Govinda. So Devi creates as Brahma. Devi protects as Vishnu. So the next nama is Om. Samharinyai namaha. Samharini. So one who destroys things. So one who is the destroyer. So what is Devi, or the name of Devi? Or Devi destroys as whom? Om Rudra Rupai Namaha, as Rudra. So Devi does Srishti Sthiti Layam. So everything, so if the world is created by Devi, world is protected by Devi, the world gets destroyed by Devi, then that means entire Srishti Sthiti Layam is done by Devi, because the world encompasses everything. The world includes our own ahankaram, the world includes our body, the world includes our people, everything is there in the world. So Devi is Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra respectively doing Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. But what happens when these three activities are finished, are completed? So the next state, that state which is just beyond these three, or when these three are completed, is Om Tirodhana Kariyai Namaha. Tirodhana Kari. So when Brahma does Srishti, Vishnu does Sthiti and Rudra does Pralayam, destruction, after that, just after all these end, there is a state where everything vanishes. So these three people immediately vanish, Tirodhanam. So once destruction happens, like once one thought vanishes, there is no, like other thought doesn't come immediately. So taking the same example of attachment, when one attachment dies, that other attachment doesn't come all of a sudden. There is a gap between the other attachment. So during that gap, attachment, or like the attachment after destruction of the attachment completely vanished. So it is a state without attachment, and a brief period after that another attachment starts. Unfortunately, the gap is so small that like we cannot even judge it, or we cannot even experience or analyze it. So because we get attached to one thing today, man, before we let go of the one thing, another attachment starts. So attachment to father. And then what happened? Immediately attachment to sister. Why? I have to take care of my sister. Not just father, sister also. And then take care of brother. So everything will start immediately. So, but there is a state, a brief period of time when these three vanish. That is Tirodhana Kari, Tirodhanam. These three deities just vanish. And as to what is the importance, what is the necessity, or what is Tirodhanam really? Tirodhanam means quite a lot for a spiritual seeker. So we will see, like Tirodhanam is a transition from the three avastas, the three states. The three avastas that we are speaking about is not Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. The three avastas is with respect to worldly things, temporary objects. So we can consider the world as consisting of the I or the ego. So the ego's creation, Sthiti, and Samharam. After that, Tirodhanam. The ego just vanishes. And when the ego vanishes, after the ego vanishes, then the real self dawns, or the real self shines. There is a brief gap between the ego state and the realized state, and that gap is denoted by Tirodhanam, which we will see in the next day. But let us try to remember that Srishti Sthiti Layam happens for everything in the world, everything that is part of the world, everything that is part of our mind, that has Srishti Sthiti Layam. The moment we try to acknowledge that Srishti Sthiti Layam is there for attachments as well, then we'll be able to surrender on to Ishvara and pray to Ishvara to get rid of the attachment, because Samharam has to happen one day or the other. So let it happen now. Let it happen now so that this attachment will not make me like the stone which is on the top of a hill which comes down. Let me not be the cause of my own downfall. O Ishvara, O Amma, protect me, help me, give me Sadbuddhi, give me good intellect that I don't cause my own downfall. Instead, I am able to get rid of attachments, get rid of all bondages, let samharam of everything happen, Amma, so that like whatever remains behind is only you and the self in me. So let everything vanish. So that is what our prayers should be. And unless we really want it, it will not happen. Because if we don't want it, then we will just externally pray. Like people go to temple and pray. They'll go to temple and pray. The moment they come out, like they are in front of the deity, they'll say, "Oh, Ishvara, Loka, Samasta, Sukhino, Bhavantu." The moment it comes off, "Oh, my uncle, he cheated my father. How dare he do that?" So the very next minute, like the moment we set foot outside the temple, that is what happens. So that just shouldn't be the prayer. Prayer should be something that which we really mean, because Ishvara knows Sarvajna. We already know that Devi is Sarvajna. Devi knows everything. We cannot play with Devi. We cannot cheat Devi. So any minute Devi knows that we are cheating, Devi will just let go of us. So we will not have any gati at all. So we should really pray and pray to Amma dearly that, "Oh Devi, oh Amma, let everything in me, have all bad thing, everything except the self, except you, except Ananda Swarupini in me, let that alone stay, Amma. Help me for that. May Amma bless us for that. Namaskar."